Well, we've seen already how international student ministry is one of the keys to completing the Great Commission. And then we saw how hospitality is the key to international student ministry. And tonight I want to talk to you about how discipleship is the key to international students becoming spiritually vibrant so they can extend Christ's love around the globe. Now, one of the things about discipleship is to understand that if people are going to be returning to cultures of the world, which are very different than American culture, that we should begin with the end in mind. That is, what we do at the beginning of the process should be keeping in mind what is going to be the end of the process. Now, one of the things about hospitality is hospitality. I shared a lot of stories of how God used hospitality as the door opener for hearing the gospel and for evangelism. But I also want you to know hospitality is a context for discipleship as well. I would encourage you to read through the book of Luke and see how many stories involve Jesus eating a meal, going to a meal, coming from a meal that become the context for his impactful life messages. Think about what happened when Jesus was eating with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus came under this discipleship of his resources and money. Having come to Christ, he decided that he would pay back anyone that he stole from. That was a discipleship thing that was going on there. Think about how Jesus at the Last Supper used that context as a discipleship setting to teach the disciples what it meant for his sacrificial death. And there was just so many times where Jesus used those meals for significant conversations and for illustrations. And so we shouldn't just think about hospitality related to evangelism, but discipleship as well. Think about your own lives, how many times you might have had a significant conversation where someone counseled you or someone, you know, interacted with you in a way that impacted your life before or after a meal or during a meal, right? I mean, there's a lot of significant things that happen. Now, one of the things that we've discovered as we start to engage international students in the Word of God is that the approach that we take will affect the way that they go home with the Word of God. And so we actually start discipling people before they become Christians. And what I mean by that is the method that they learn of how to study the Bible will, if they become Christians, be what they continue when they go home. And so one of the things we have done is to do something called Discovery Bible Study. Discovery Bible Study is a method of Bible study that is an inductive Bible study that uses the same set of questions each week. And that way a person doesn't have to feel like they are a Bible scholar to engage and facilitate others in discussion about the Word of God. The model that's used illustrates the basic core of church life. So at the beginning of the Bible study, we talk about, you know, what did they do last time with the lesson they learned? Because one of the concepts of discipleship is that it's obedience-based, right? We study the Word of God in order to learn what God's will is, what Jesus says, what God says to us, so we can obey it, right? I mean, it's not for the purpose of information. It's for the purpose of transformation. God wants to communicate to us, so we put into practice what he teaches us. So we always take that approach to our Bible study, and then people can share the next week, how did they apply God's Word in their life? The other thing we talk about is what are they thankful for, which is a basic form of worship, giving thanks to God. So we every week teach people, okay, think about what you can be thankful for. And as they are not Christians, they might not yet say, oh, I'm thankful because this is what God has done for me. But as those Christians in the group share, hey, I'm thankful, this is what God has done for me this week, they can begin to relate the things happening in their life and begin to see God working in their life as well. And then what we do is we bring them into the passage, and when we study the passage together, we read it out loud, and then they read it again, and then we tell the story again without opening the Bible. And we do this in a way so that just like we're learning with the memory verse, we don't do actions, but we learn the stories enough so that they can tell the story in their own words without having to have a Bible in front of them. And once they learn that, then we, at the end of the study, tell them, who can you share this story with this week? So we immediately teach them the principle of passing on what they have learned and telling the Word of God to other people. A lot of times with some of the Chinese students, there's a 12-hour time difference. So at the time they finish the Bible study is usually like 10 o'clock at night. It's 10 a.m. in China. And a lot of Chinese students talk daily to their parents in China. And so they may call them when they get home from the Bible study and say to them, hey, let me tell you the story I just learned. And then they repeat the Bible story. And that's the way the gospel starts to go back into the families around the world. It's really wonderful. So they learn the Bible story in a way that they can repeat the Bible story. And then what we do is we just ask some very basic, simple questions. Like, what does this passage tell us about God? Now, isn't that the purpose of the Bible, to teach us who God is, what God is like, what His character is, what His will is? So we ask that question. What do we learn about God from this passage? What He likes, what He dislikes, what His attitude is? And then we ask the question, what do we learn about people from this passage? Their sinful patterns, the way that they're, you know, separated from God. We learn from the people in the passage something about how they follow God or the choices they made. And very simple, what do we learn about God? What do we learn about people? And what do we learn about the relationship between God and people? And we also talk about, you know, what is the maybe the most significant thing they see in this story? And then, after that, we ask him the question about, okay, so how would this change your life, your thinking, or the way you live if this passage is true? And I say, Rich, why do you say if this passage is true? I tell them it's true, but I want them to answer it even before they are Christians, to say, okay, I don't necessarily believe this yet, but if it's true, this would be the implication for me. So they get into thinking about that for themselves. And then we end the story with them thinking about who are they going to share it with and what could they do based on what they learned. That's the method right there. Okay, and by doing it week after week, they can learn this simple Bible study method and then take it home with them. So that's discipleship in a context that starts before they become Christians, and soon afterwards, we start giving them the opportunities to facilitate small groups, to do this Bible study method with their friends, to start a discovery group themselves, or if I'm training them, then I coach them while they're leading the group. I'm very excited. There's a Chinese student who came to Christ. She just started leading the discovery Bible study in my small group. And this group here are some of the students that I meet with on Friday night. Now, on Friday nights in Columbus, we'll have maybe around 200 students in Bible discussion groups. And this is just my Bible discussion group, one of maybe 15 or 20. And there's a variety of people in there, and I could tell you the story of each one of these people and those that have come to Christ and those who are on the way. And it's just an exciting group to see God working with them. And I'm just thrilled to have that opportunity to teach these precious people from the nations of the world about Jesus Christ. Now, one of the students, I want to tell you one other thing about our training. We have a special training for international students who become followers of Jesus that they can go through after they graduate from college. Most of the students are not going to go to Bible college, they're not going to go to seminary. They've gotten their degree in business or they've gotten their degree in economics. And before they launch out into their careers, we offer them a 9-month intensive discipleship training program we call ISEED, which stands for International Students as Equipped and Empowered Disciples. And I'm really excited because the students who go through that program, many of them return home, and when they return home, these are the ones that really have an impact. And I'm going to share some of their stories tomorrow, but I'll share an example of one of the stories. This student from Taiwan just finished the program. She got her PhD from Ohio State University in the field of ethnomusicology, the study of music in different cultures. And she was wondering how could she use her degree to serve the Lord. And as she went through the discipleship program and we were praying and searching it, we found out that Bible translators, when they go in to translate the Bible in a new language, that one of the ways that people remember the Bible is when it's put to music. Surprise. Right? We utilize that here. But when you put the song into music, you want to put it into the cultural form, a musical style that's used in that culture, because that's the way they are familiar with learning songs. So you need someone who's a specialist in the music, can understand the music of that culture in order to help in the Bible translation by putting the words into those songs. And so she has become, she's just starting to go to Dallas International University, which used to be called the Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics, which works with the Wycliffe missionaries who are going to be translating the Bible, and she's teaching them ethnodoxology, the worship to God in the different languages of the world. And she's going to be assisting the Word of God to get into the cultures of the world by teaching those missionaries how to apply worship in a cultural context. That's exciting. And that is what's happening through our discipleship program. People finding their calling for God. How can they use what they learned in their field, and how can they serve God in their field or apply it in some other way? Now, that is a key. I'm not going to be able to tell you about Dora. Smita, who's back in India now because of time. But I wanted to share one more story with you. I have the privilege each year, although I'm the executive director of International Friendship, so my role is to oversee all of our ministries and to lead our national team, I still can't get away from investing in students' lives. That's just a passion of my heart. And so every year I pray to God for at least a couple of international students that I can deeply invest in. I shared with you about Mohit on the first day, coming from that unreached people group in India. He's one of the guys that I'm working with. The other guy is a guy from Nigeria, and his name is Kayode. And I've walked alongside of him for about a year and a half now. And just recently we had a dinner in Columbus, and I said, Kayode, could you share your story of how God has impacted your life in a discipleship setting? And he said, yeah. And when he shared the story, I didn't realize he was going to talk about me a lot. And I felt embarrassed. And I said, hey, could you change this? Because I'm a little bit uncomfortable with you talking about me like you are. And he said, no, this is my story, and I'm not going to change it. So I said, okay. So I want, he'll let you hear in his own words the story of how discipleship has impacted his life and what it looks like from an international student perspective. This will give you insight into what international students go through and how important it is to have Christians alongside of them in the discipleship process. So let me see if this works here. Okay.
Good evening, everyone. It is my pleasure to be here this evening to share with you my story, a story of how I found love, community, and belonging through IFI. In the months leading up to my trip to Columbus to begin graduate school at The Ohio State University, my wife, who was then my fiance, and I had one key prayer point, that God would bring me in contact with Christian friends. I desired meaningful friendships through which I could fellowship and find spiritual encouragement. Before I started grad school at OSU, I had lived in New York for about 10 months. And never in my life had I felt so invisible, so unacknowledged, so unknown as I felt in New York. It was hard to make friends. People were so engrossed in their daily lives, and nobody saw me. Nobody had time for me. This was extremely hard because not only do I have many friends back home in Nigeria, I also deeply appreciate meaningful friendships. I hoped and tried to find a space that would accept me, a space to which I could feel a sense of belonging, but I didn't find any, not even in church. And that was why coming to Columbus, it was a great desire for me that I would find and make meaningful relationships. Indeed, today, I can confidently say that God has been faithful in fulfilling that desire. First day on campus, I met Darlene Thomas, who introduced me. And also thanks to IFI, I have the blessing called Rich Mandola. Rich has been a great blessing to me in many ways. He and I meet regularly, once in a week, as much as our schedules allow. And we talk about important issues, my faith, my academic work, my family, anything and everything, basically, that pertains to life. There is no way I can describe in words the encouragement and uplift I feel in my spirit every time I meet with Rich. In fact, whenever my wife, who is back home in Nigeria, whenever we talk over the phone and she senses that something is not quite right with me, she would always go, "I think you should talk to Rich." All through the fall of 2018, I went through what is perhaps the toughest phase of my life. I had to deal with the painful disappointment of being separated from my wife, home last summer to get married to the love of my life, the girl with whom I shared a seat in the third grade. I didn't ask her out then. It happened many years after. I had been excited for a second year of grad school with my wife, only for her to be denied visa. As if that was not enough, about a month after I returned alone to Columbus, I had to deal with the news and reality of my mother suffering a stroke. I was depressed. I suffered bouts of anxiety attacks. I was coming down under a heavy workload, taking 3 graduate courses and teaching for the first time, fully responsible for instructing and grading an undergraduate class of 24 students. Today, I look back and I don't even understand how I made it through last semester. For the first time in my life, I struggled with fighting to keep my mental health in place. I come from a society in which, for many reasons, mental health is not at the top of our list of concerns. And so, for months, I couldn't even name what I was going through as depression. When I finally came to terms with the reality, I decided to seek help. I called OSU Student Counseling Services, and I was told that they were fully occupied to the end of the semester. This gives you a sense of what students go through on this campus. I mean, fully occupied. I mean, especially international students who do not have the support system of their friends and family around them. But glory be to God, where OSU Counseling Services failed me, IFI came through for me. I'm convinced that the only reason something did not snap in my mental space was because Rich was there with me all through the storm. He listened to me. He watched me cry. He spoke words of affirmation and encouragement. He prayed with me, and I know he never stopped praying for me. You know, when I remember the words of Jesus that he will not leave me comfortless, I think about Rich, and I know that he is my godsend. And when I count my Columbus blessings, Rich Mendola is definitely on top of the list. During the winter break of 2017, Rich and I, with some friends, went to the Vision Conference. The theme of the conference was known. And one of the profound messages I took away from that conference is that we all desire to know and to be known. I believe it is basic human instinct to want to know other people and connect with them. And as my experience in New York has taught me, it is equally important for us to feel that other people desire to know us and that they want to connect with us. In the end, we are all searching for the same thing in life, to love and to be loved. In my own journey in the United States, it is through IFI that I have found that one thing, that I have found meaningful friendship, that I have loved people and felt their love in return. Someone who has never traveled thousands of miles away from home may not understand this, but it is tough to be away from everything and everyone you call home. But blessed is that person who finds home in a faraway land. Blessed is that international student who finds IFI. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Wow. I'll just close with this. There's a Kaede out there somewhere who's waiting for you. There is an international that is like he was in New York, not being known, not being seen, not being understood, not being invested in. And what a joy it will be if there are many more Kaedes who have Christians who get alongside of them so that they will not only be known, but they will successfully come not only to the completion of their studies, but fulfill the calling of God on their life. Let's do it together.